philosophy of Chazal, a very deep philosophy based upon, it's complex, it's not simple, doesn't follow any emotion, it follows a certain reality, it's a difficult one to master. But my point is that I think that a person should always have before their mind's eye the elements that Chazal teach us for happiness, because that's the only chance that a person has to be able to be successful. And even though it's very difficult, but you must, they must always be there in your life. So that as a person goes on in life, can't be done in a day, it takes a lot of work and a lot of time and a lot of development, but it is achievable. It is achievable. And certainly, when a person's on the road already, he is far ahead of any person who is completely blundering in the, you know, without any, what is it, Shlomo always equates, the Chacham, Eino Barosho, and he's a whole different type of existence. I mean, he's incomparable. So this is something which is to my mind extremely important, and it's not just a matter of it's not optional. Enjoying life according to Chazal is not optional. If you can't enjoy life, there's something wrong. It's a sign of something wrong with your whole perfection. Not just say, I didn't enjoy it. I'm a big tzaddik. I had a less enjoyment. No, less enjoyment is not a big tzaddik. Less enjoyment is something wrong. Yes. And that's right. And it means a big tzaddik, like Yaakov Avinu, he could not attain happiness. 22 years, it means there was no Ashur Ashkin of 20 years. That's true. He couldn't do it. That wasn't an Avera. That was not Tachas Shel Avadato Hashem Lekecha V'Simchat Levav. That was a chelek. But Tachas Shel Avadato means what God is saying, I gave you. If you had everything, and I gave you Eretz Yisrael, and I gave you the best conditions, and this, and you didn't enjoy it, then you don't deserve it anymore. Then, on the contrary, then it leads to a path of destruction. That's God has his cheshbon. It's different things. Different people. Everybody's different. That's it. But that's nothing. That's not your cheshbon. Okay. I mean, we're speaking about, you know, perfection. The grand scale, I mean, the plan for perfection. But the point is, the person in yeshiva, I mean, really has to, the main thing a person should do in the years in yeshiva is to engage in learning, in umkus, and learning in depth of Torah. I mean, that's, if he doesn't have that tool, then there's nothing. So I think that I would say this much, and so far as the plan is concerned, while a person's in yeshiva, I would say that a person should really direct all his energies into perfecting themselves in Limud. I mean, that is the most important thing to do at that time. Simultaneously, you should always keep in mind the ideas that we're discussing. Okay? My point with Yaakov Avinu is that Yahadus does not give an answer. That's Gamki Yivakesh Chacham Limsa Leichalimsa. It does give an answer to that question. And the reason why people keep banging their head against the wall with that question is because of the, not because they want to know Chachmas Hashem, but because they believe that Chaye Shah is Chaye Olam. They're making a mistake. Okay? That's why they keep on bothering with that question. The Yaakov Avinu was not Mechoyev to be Alvei B'Simcha because that wasn't his Chalek. But for you to say, if you have a better situation than Yaakov Avinu, for you to say that Simcha is not my goal, that's wrong. If you have the good Chalek, you must enjoy. That's what Chazal say. In Yesh Lecha, If you have the money, so then enjoy it. Yeah, she says, Yaakov, he was such a tzaddik. Look at all the tzaras he had. So I can expect at least twice, 50 times as many tzaras in my life. That's a coffee go. That's a crazy person. That was his chelik, and that's it. Your chelik could be much better than his chelik. That's cheshbonus of God. That's not your area of cheshbonus. That's what he said. That's true. It's very disturbing to a person because it doesn't give them any security. But that's what Kehillah says. I mean, you have to face that reality. That's the way it is. A poor situation, you can't be happy. Kol yimei ani royim, Chazal say. Person is poor, it's always bad. Ani chashi kemeis. So what are you supposed to say? Obviously, God won't have a time with him. Merov kol means because I gave you everything. A person doesn't have. Why this person has that person? That is not your cheshbon. That's not your chelek. I know it's a tough philosophy, but you've got to get it straight. Yeah, this has nothing to do with tefillah. A person has a chiyuv to try to improve their lot through tefillah, of course. But I just want to introduce. I mean, the thing is that what a person has to do, insofar as other people's misfortunes are concerned, of course, is chesed. I mean, that is what chesed is. Chesed is to help an individual. Individuals who has misfortune. Yeah, I just want to emphasize something. I mean, I think it's important that when we say that the reality for a person is his or her own chelik, that is 100% true. But again, it does not mean indifference towards a person that does, is a different concept. I mean, I don't want to misconstrue that. I mean, insofar as another person's chelik is unfortunate, you have to do everything in terms of tzedakah and chesed that is possible. But what I said was it should not prevent the individual from enjoying his chelik. That would be wrong. Okay, Levi's question. Levi's question is that that isn't there such a thing as a healthy ego? How can we say that the ego is something which a person really should not indulge his energies in? Okay, that's a good question. But I'd like to explain exactly what we hold about a healthy ego and what is meant generally by a healthy ego. Okay. You have to realize that you must take everything in the framework of the philosophy in which you discuss it. So in our society, okay, what is called a healthy ego is a person who is capable of expressing his ambition. And is the successful, the so-called, the quote, successful individual, all right? What is meant by that is that the energy, because our society maintains that the energy should really go into the ego, because our society really believes, our society is essentially is not a hedonistic society in the sense of physical pleasure. That's not really what the society is all about. It's a big mistake. People think that's the case, but when you look carefully, see that's not the case. There are very few people really enjoying the physical pleasures. What they're enjoying, what they're trying to enjoy, is really the egoistic pleasures. It's an egoistic society, our society. It's more like a Dara Flugger than Dara Mabel. But the once you're in the framework where the whole essence of man is to enjoy his ego conquests, once you're in that framework, then you have two types of individuals. You have an individual that is able to, so to speak, accomplish that, okay? And then you have an individual who cannot accomplish it. The individual who can accomplish it is a person who is able to express his ambition without fear. I'm speaking descriptively, without fear, okay? But then there's a fearful individual that's incapable of doing that because they have some kind of a problem in terms of their own self-worth, okay? And whether it's guilt. I don't want to get into the psychological dynamics. I'm just reading it in the descriptive form, okay? So that definitely, there is no question, I mean, that in terms of the psychology of a human being, an individual who has fear and who doesn't have the ability to be successful, cannot express their ambition, has a psychological defect. No question about that. That's a psychological defect. But what Yehadis is talking about is whether that framework is of any value to begin with. Okay, that's a different question. These are two different questions. See, in Yehadis, the whole framework is off. In other words, the concept of thinking that life and the enjoyment of life is synonymous with the enjoyment of reflecting about yourself, that idea itself in Yehadis is completely false. Okay? So, according to Yehadis, on the contrary, even the successful, ambitious person will have a miserable life because their energies are being placed into a quest or a type of expression, desire, which not only eventually, but leads to a person being unhappy. Okay? So that's a different question, you understand? And it's based upon a certain illusion and a certain fantasy of the mind, which goes back to early stages where the person has a feeling of omnipotence. So it's based on an unrealistic kind of emotion. And philosophically, it is the most detrimental emotion. That's what the Rambam says. Rambam says, Perek Beis, Hilchos Beis. The age deus yosu alonim linog ben the beninus el yisrachik min akotze ho echora da kotze ho acha. Vahu, govaleiv. Shein derech atova sheyi odom onov dovad. Ela sheyi shfal ruach. Vitiya rucho nemucho lemaot. Vafichach nema moshe beno onov maot. Vulema lo nema onov dovad. Vulafichach tzivu chachomim maot maot hevi shfal ruach. Vod Omer, so call him a Bia Libo Kofar Beka. Shinema Varamla Varachla Shachachla Sadashem Lekecha. Vod Omer, Bishamta Mandis Begasis Aruach. Lafilim Mitzasa. Okay, Bishamta. So you see that the whole philosophy of Yehadus is that the direction of the energies, the person's psychological energies into the area of self-esteem and self-worth and the illusion which is based upon really an individual's fantasy of immortality and omnipotence and all these other kinds of mental categories. This, according to Yehadus, is really the destruction of man. Man must not partake of this kind of an enjoyment. And what Yehadus maintains is that a person must not, you see. I want to explain this again. Not become an individual that can't express his ambition is a sick individual. And I want to make clear, Yehadus doesn't mean he's healthy. That's what, according to, there is where people make a mistake. Because they think that the person, that's what the Ram says, people mistake certain defects for virtues. And that's a common thing. That was a person that is incapable of expressing ambition is a person who has a psychological defect. But Yehadus maintains that while that is a defect in the personality, that in terms of an individual directing his energies, that is not the area the person should raise energies into. Okay, the what a person really should do is overcome the whole institution of the fantasy of omnipotence and face what he is in reality. Once he faces what he is in reality, then the individual is removed from all these kind of problems, and on the contrary, the person has a very strong ego, because the ego is based upon something that the mind can fasten itself to, and not the illusion and the fantasy. That's why I told you that. In Yehadus, the person that is the most humble acts in a way that is stronger than the person that's most arrogant. Like Avraham Avinu. Hineinu ho'alti l'dabar el adashem v'anochi ofor v'efer. That sounds like a tata de sasri. How could you converse with God, the creator of the universe, and you offer v'efer? The average person, no matter how haughty he is, if he would be confronted by God, he'd simply melt. Okay? But the answer is because the average person's concept of the self is based upon the illusion of the fantasy of omnipotence and immortality. That part of man, the part of man that, for instance, if you look at the Greek literature, the gods and all their different kinds, it's all caters to that kind of a fantasy of immortality and omnipotence, and that's that whole category, you see. A person who is into that category, his mind can't be into it because it's not real. So therefore, he's operating on he's operating on something which is really a kind of a sickness, even though it's a universal sickness, but it still is a sickness of the mind. Okay? Whereas and since it's an illusion, if he were in a state like a Avraham Avinu, he'd just simply demolish and fall apart. I mean, self-destruct, because he couldn't tolerate the idea of the presence of the creator of the universe. His whole fantasy, his illusion would be broken. You see? Whereas Avraham Avinu, who was really the greatest honor, Anochi Ofer Ve'efer, but that's because he had a realistic view of what a human life is. And not because it wasn't a humility that came from a sick ego, which is fearful, or you understand what I mean? That's not what the real Anivus is. You know, a real Anivus is where he comes from a true recognition of what he is, but he's still a creature of God. So he has a right to ask God, how do you do this? Okay, a person, according to Yehadus, a person is, since he is a Nivra, he is a Nivra, and when he realizes that he's a Nivra, so
So it's a big blow to the fantasy ego, but it also is a very realistic assessment of what he is in truth. And then when he relates to his creator, he relates it a certain way. He has certain rights to ask his creator, well, why is this being done? I mean, he has a right to use his mind. God gave him a mind, so he has a right to use his mind and question and ask and relate to God. It's a whole new world opens up, but that world is a world of reality, you see. And that's why he's not broken, where the person who has the strong ego, what our society would call a strong ego, would really be demolished. You follow? It's a different, it's a totally different concept, different framework, okay? So therefore you have really three types of ego. You have an ego where a person has a psychological problem and can't express their ambition. Okay, that's a defective psychological ego. Then you have an ego which is healthy psychologically, but they're philosophically they're sick, because philosophically they're directing their energy into the area of man which can only lead them away from reality and into unhappiness. You see, that's where Yehada steps in and says that the healthy ego, on the contrary, is the ego that is able to recognize what in reality a human life is. He could think about his pleasures and the Yom HaMisa in the same breath, and there's no contradiction. He understands life. He has an understanding of life. He knows what man's self-worth truly is. He understands himself vis-a-vis God properly. And this is really the strongest ego, because the mind is attached to this ego, because it's reality. Okay? That, according to Yehudas, that's the third kind of ego. That's the correct ego. Okay? But of the other two, if you ask me which one is better of the other two, okay, neither one is good, but the broken down, according to Yehudas, the broken down psychological ego is still better. Why? Because even though it's a psych, I mean, that's the difference between a psychologist and a philosopher. I mean, people have to understand psychology and philosophy are two different things. A psychologist would say the better person is the person that can express his ambition. If a person is healthy, according to psychology, there's one rule. If a person is healthy and functioning, that's it. That's it. That's the end of psychology. So, of course, a person that is easily intimidated and is fearful, I mean, a kind of a person that can't be successful because they have fears, this is an unhealthy, psychologically unhealthy individual, okay? But the person who's ambitious and who has a strong ego and is successful and can build empires, this person is no reason for this person to see a psychologist. He's functioning, he's going, he's doing. But according to Yehudas, this person is really in the worst of the three paths. Because that individual, insofar as philosophical reality is concerned, is so far removed from philosophical reality that it's hopeless, basically. That's the Rama. As the Rama repeats again and again, it's Bishamton, and the worst thing, and he's a kofar beaker, because the person is philosophically totally destroyed. As a psychological organism, yes, psychological organism is doing fine. Okay, but whereas the other person who's completely broken of ego, that person, while psychologically they are unhealthy, and that's not the really the epitome of Torah, is not to be psychologically unhealthy. That's because not because of the ego, but because it affects you in other ways too. I mean, according to the Yehudas, if the person is psychologically unhealthy, it has to affect them in other areas. So maybe, so even though in this area they're not going to become Balagaiva, but it's not the right way to not be a Balagaiva. Because it means the psychological problems is going to affect them in other areas. It can't, it's not going to lead to Shlemus on them. It's a problem. But it's a different kind of a problem. But you see on the contrary, you see that this person is closer to reality philosophically, even though psychologically they're damaged. So here you see a marked distinction in paths between the path of the psychologist and the path of Yehudas, of the philosopher. In terms of the psychologist, the worst of the two is certainly the one that the individual has ego problems. Whereas according to Yehudas, that person is better off. He's definitely better off. Not intrinsically, not because we value a defect, but because they are more prone, closer, more able to what? To correct. I mean,
really, the truth of the matter, what we're saying is really the whole history of Am Yisrael. I mean, the history of Am Yisrael. This whole the Torah, this idea is something the Torah grapples with straight through Hamisha Chumshe Torah, and it starts with Bris Bein Absorim, and it ends with concludes with Lady Kol Yisrael. And basically, the whole concept. This is really something which involves the entire concept of Avdus. See, the Eved is the broken personality. That's the concept. And Yadis has a lot to do with the concept of Avdus. It's a very big concept. The concept of Avdus is a very big concept in Yadis. Big concept. Torah has a lot about Avdus. In Halacha, there's a lot in philosophically. It's a big theme in the Torah. Because the Eved is the broken personality. The broken personality. Psychologically, yeah. The Eved is the broken ego, the dependent individual, the individual that can't go out on his own. That is the model of the Eved. But you see an amazing thing? That who are the ones that were Zochot the Torah? Avodim. That's Bishman of Zom. Okay? Vavodim Vino or Zom. Vameh Bamoyed Akirashena. Vavodim Vino or Zom. So it's precisely the broken ego, the broken individuals, were able to receive the Torah, and the egoistic Mitzrim had the opportunity, but they rejected it. So you see, really, that over there you have the healthy psychological ego of the Egyptian, and the unhealthy, broken down ego of the Jew. Which one was able to pass the test in terms of Kabbalah Satorah? It was not the Egyptian. Couldn't do it. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu offered Paro. He wanted the office power, could have gone together, could have been the Kabbalah Torah, but he couldn't do it because he had the society of power and ego. So you see in the Torah itself, the Torah has in juxtaposition these two types of personalities. The strong ego of the Egyptian and the weak, defeated attitude of the Jew. And you see how defeated the Jew was when Moshe Rabbeinu went and killed the Egyptian. So what did the other Jew say? He was already, he was so broken down that even to see his oppressor destroyed, he felt guilty about it. That's the height of the breakdown of the ego, where if somebody even of course you should be happy, where even if somebody removes your oppressor, that you feel guilty about that. No, he should be over me, he should oppress me. It's not fair. How can you do that to that person? That person, he's holding that person in such high esteem that even though he's cruel to him, he accepts that position. That's the height of the breakdown of the ego. So you see, that's a chenor adavar. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, chenor, that's the kind of psychology people have. That's it. Now I understand the political situation. It's a political situation, according to Moshe Rabbeinu, was easily determined by psychology. You see the psychology of the people, you understand the politics. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. But that's the whole concept of, there you see precisely the idea that Yahadus recognizes that the broken down personality is in a better position for philosophical perfection than the healthy ego. Okay, the healthy ego. But that's not really the end of the parsha, because Yahadus keeps on going. Then the Torah says, once you're out of Mitzrayim and you accept the Torah, then Avdus is no good. Then the broken personality is no good. Then what happens to the Eved that says, "Ahavti es Adoni, es Ishti, ves Bonai, lo es Echavshi"? I don't want to face reality. I want to stay home with the security of the Adon. I want to be a dependent. I can't face life. So what does the Torah say? "V'rota Adono ves Ozno b'matzeya." What does Chazal say? "Ozin Sheshoma al Har Sinai li b'nei Yisrael avodim." Okay, is Holach Zev Kono Adon Atzmo? So you see, there Yahadis demands that the person, now that you have the ideas, now you have to work on the defective ego, and not fall into that kind of a state of existence. That's the challenge of Yahadis. That was really the challenge of the Meraglim. The Meraglim couldn't do it. They couldn't get out of that state, the fear, the fearful state. Yeah, this is an amazing system. It blames people for things that most people don't think are averse, like being afraid. You think, he's a meek person on the contrary. Always been afraid. Tzaddik, meek, tzaddik, it's this. That's not the model. The model of Yehadas, if any individual represents the model of Yehadas, it's Dovra Malach. And Dovra Malach does not appear as a frightened human being. Okay? So the Torah is really, the model of the Torah is an individual who has strength of character. And it doesn't have defective ego, but at the same time, philosophically, is perfected. V'libi cholol b'kirbi. He has that sense of the emptiness in terms of satisfying the ego through the indulging in pleasures of the ego. That's libi cholol b'kirbi. That's a vacuum, an inner vacuum. That's what I mentioned last week. That, according to Yehadas, is the perfected individual. Okay. So there really are three levels, and that's the concept, as I said, this whole concept of Yitzchus Mitzrayim, the institution of Avdus, and that whole area is very, very, very central. But the weak, dependent personality can't really be Oved Hashem. And that's the challenge. The challenge of Yehadas was to take the broken individual, give him the true ideas, and now he has to rework his personality. That's a difficult thing. But that's what Yehadas demands of a person. There was one Greek philosopher, Thales, who wanted to show the world something similar. What he did was that he was an astronomer, and he bought up all the he knew was good that the, he knew that the weather was going to be very good that year. So he bought up all the presses, the olive presses, bought them up at market value, and it was a bumper crop. So a bumper crop. He sold all the presses that he controlled. He had a monopoly over the presses. He sold the presses at a profit. So it was a bumper crop. So he said, I showed the world that the philosopher doesn't have money, not because he's unambitious, not because he's unable to go out in the world and make money. I mean, that's a weakness. If the philosopher doesn't have money, because his ambition is elsewhere. He has other ambitions, but he's not a weak individual that just can't go out and earn money like another person can. You see, that would be a weak personality. That was the story of Thales. Like the Rambam says, Shema ha'amas v'misha amro. True idea. The problem that the world faces today, this is my own personal estimation, but I really think that most people are not evil intentionally. Most people are not evil intentionally, in my opinion. I think the reason why people usually don't live the life of Torah has a lot to do with psychology. I mean, it has a lot to do with psychology and the fact that it's... I'll go into it now a little more. You'll see what I have to say about it. It's my own thoughts on it, but I'll share them with you. Let's take a look at the Rambam first. The Rambam in Hilchos Deis is very interesting. Rambam in Hilchos Deis is strange at first. I mean, it seems to be contradictory in some places. I'll give you an example. Let's take, for instance, Perek Rishon Halacha Dalet, where he talks about, and this is an extension of last week's shiur, because I left the last week's shiur, some people walked away the impression that I was in favor of Taiva, which I'm not. But again, I'm not in favor of asceticism either, because that's the hardest against that too. But it becomes difficult to know exactly where you draw the line, you know what I mean? It's an area that has to be clarified. Maybe by going through the Rambam, I'll be able to shed some light on it, exactly what it is. Okay, now take a look. Perek Rishon Halacha Dalet. It says, V'chein lo yisava elin advarm sha'guf tzorach lahem. V'i'ef shel lios bezulasim. A person shouldn't desire only things that the body needs and it's impossible to be without. Ki'inin shenema tzadik ochel l'sov anafsha. All right? Sounds pretty acidic.
I mean, correct? Okay. Take a look at the Rambam in Perek Shlishi.
Shema Yomar Adam. Maybe a person will say, Ho vakino vataiva vakova vakayotze bohem derech rohen efrosh mehem biyosa.
So I'll separate myself from these things very much.
Vesrachik v'tzad acham.
I'll become an ascetic.
Achilo yocho basvel yishto yayin v'lo yiso isha v'lo yeshev b'dira noa v'lo yilbash malbush noa ela asak v'atzemar akoshe v'kayotze ben kigun tohane ol v'kachom.
It's like the Geish monks.
Gamza derech rohi v'osu lelech bo. V'amahalech v'derech zu nekrochote.
Alright.
I didn't drink wine for a month, okay? Okay,
so far, no problem.
Now, lefichach tzivu chachomim shelo yimna odom atzmo ele midvorim shemon oso atorah mimeno bilvad.
Okay?
That's funny. Man, you shouldn't be Menaysa from anything that the Torah wasn't Monei you from. I mean, now you're left to the other side. It doesn't sound like what he said before. And then take a look at Halacha Bey.
He says a person should, his attitude should be, Ele Yosim Alibo She Yochal V'Yishte Kedei Lahavros Gufo Ve'Evorov Bilvad. Okay, the only reason he should... He should eat and drink is only for his health. He says, Volchel derech refu bilvad.
Ho v'yefshu lo'odom bilvad kadesh yavri v'yamot sholem. Ho v'yefshu lo'odom lichyos ela b'achil ushtiyah.
You must eat and drink. That sounds really ascetic. Okay. Okay, by the way, the next Rambam shows us some support something that we said in the Shiur on child raising, when I mentioned that the parents have a very selfish motive with regard to their children. And most people think that parents are always magnanimous just because of the hurt of their parents. But that's an impossibility because a person doesn't become a tzaddik so easily to become a parent. And the Rambam has, and the Gimli says, Imsama libo sheyia ko gufo vevar shleim and bovad. He just wants to be healthy. Vishiyu lo bonim osin malachto v'amelim letzarko. He wants to have kids just to help him out in business and do work for him. So you see that there is such a thing. Yahadus recognizes parental selfishness. Okay. But anyways, that's what the Rambam says over here. Then the Rambam says, again the Rambam says in Perek Chamishi, V'lo yei rodei flamalos bitno, ke'elu shem mismalin mimaychol umishta chetipach kreison. Person shouldn't go to stuff his stomach like those people that eat until they're ready to bust. Okay? He says, dishes, right? And only as much as he needs, that's it. All right. So there again, he sounds ascetic. Doesn't sound like the Rambam before, where he says, "Lefichach tziva chom shalo yimna adam atzmo alu midvarim sheman oso atorim in bilvad." Okay, I mean, it sounds like a contradiction. As a matter of fact, the Rambam goes so far and says, "Va'asu chachom shehei adam misagef atzmo betainis." It's an iser for a person to fast all the time. You know, to be involved in fasting. It's an iser. Chom made an iser on it. Okay, well, I call it Vam Elo Kids from Tziva Shlomo Vam Alti Tzadikabe Valti Shakam Yose Lamati Shome. Alright. So, that's one problem of the Rambam. Another problem of the Rambam is, why does the Rambam constantly repeat himself? That's a difficult thing in the Rambam. I mean, he says it so many times. I mean, he says it in Perek Aleph, for instance. It just shows with regard to food. Perek Aleph. Then he repeats it again in Perek Shlishi, and then again in Perek Hamishi. Okay, Perek Avi, of course, is all health, a Perek on health, nutrition, which seems to show the Rambam holds that a Talmud Chacham is mechuyif to study and know nutrition. I mean, that's Perek Dalad, actually. You understand? Rambam was a tzachiyof. A Talmud Chacham has to know nutrition. Yep.
But that's Perek Dalet, because in Perek Gimel he says that a person that being healthy is a part of perfection. That's how he starts off the Perek, actually. Holol v'yos haguf bori v'sholei midarkei Hashem hu sharei yefshir sheyovin o yeda dovar miyediyas habori v'chola. He goes, he holds that if a person is ill physically, then intellectually he can't really reach great heights. It's a severe limitation. It's an interesting thing. That's what he holds. Now, he says it also before in Perek Shlishi. He says that even if a person is not well on one organ, has a pain, even limited pain, localized pain. He says already the person can't advance in knowledge. It's a serious inhibitor on his advancement in knowledge. It's an interesting. And, you know, that's what Rambam held, that knowing nutrition is a chiyuv. He held a chiyuv midaraisa. Okay, chiyuv midaraisa. Now, at any rate, I'd like to just take up the problem of why the Rambam repeats himself. Okay, so many times, it seems to be the same thing. You know, I mean, he keeps repeating himself. He shouldn't eat too much, he shouldn't miss Avin, and again and again. Why the repetition? Okay. Yeah. Okay. You see, I think the Rambam can be broken down into three categories. Okay. The first category is the first category is the Rambam's chiddushes. The Rambam's chiddush is, you see the Rambam's like this, the Rambam says, V'keitzad yargil odom atzmo, in the end of Paragrishan, V'keitzad yargil odom es atzmo b'deos elu at sheyikva ubo. How does a person accomplish this? You know, that he should be that kind of human personality which is perfected. Nyasa v'yashane v'yashalesh b'maisim sha'osa al piya deos v'em tzoyos. The Yarzor Bam Tomir Achiyu Masem Kalim Alov, the Loyia Bam Torah Alov, the Yikvu Adeos Benafsha. Okay, what is the Rambam saying? He says, yes, the repetition. Okay, repetition, habit, repetition. But what is the main idea behind the Rambam? What is the Rambam saying? The Rambam is saying over here, the first principle of the Rambam is that a person has an obligation to change the dynamics of his psyche. That's what the Rambam is saying, basically. That a person has a chiyuv to take the energies, the psychological energies, he has a chiyuv to direct them, and not to just allow them to go naturally. Okay? That's what the Rambam says. Okay? There are different kinds of personalities. But the Rambam says that Yahadah demands there is a chiyuv on a person to rechannel his energies. The rechanneling of energy is really what the Rambam is preoccupied with in the first two prakim. Yeah. That's why he says, essentially, he says, the Ketzad Irifu Asuram, in second pack, Mishu Balchema Omrim Lo Lahanigatzmo Shem Huka Vekula Lo Yargish Klau Yelech V'derech Zuz Man Meruba Chis Akar Achema Milibo. Essentially, Perek Beis is really the rechanneling of the energies, which means a person has a chiv midaraisa, according to the Rambam, to rechannel psychological energies. It's a big chiddush. You know, because you could say that whatever your personality is one thing, okay, but different personality. But who says I'm a chuyif to rechannel my energies and to change my personality? That's the first yisod in the Rambam. That's the yisod in the Rambam in the second parak, essentially. The second parak. And that's the first klal in the Rambam. The second one in the Rambam
That's Perigimel. Perigimel deals with something. It's in the same area, and that's why these things keep coming up. The Rambam repeats them, but he's not really repeating them because he's repeating them under different frameworks. The second framework, which is Perik Shlishi, deals with something else. Deals with something else. And that is the objective of a person's actions. That's not the dynamics of the psyche. That is more philosophical. The philosophical, the conscious objectives of a person's life. You see, that's really where Perik Shlishi is designated for. Okay, because they're two different things. One thing is working on your psyche and actually being able to make changes in the way your energies, your psychological energies are dispersed. That's one type of malacha, one type of active perfection. But the other is a different thing altogether. This is the idea of what a person's conscious objectives should be. You see, that's why the Rambam, that's a Perek Shlishi, really. That's really Perek Shlishi. That's why he says, Shema Yomar Adam, Hova Kiva Taiva Kavli Dera Matzins and Amalon, Efresh Men B'Yosef, Esrach Zara Achron, Esrach Zara Achron, Lefichot Siva Chachonim, Shema Yomar Adam, Esrach Zara Achron, Shema Nosa Tevah, I'll tell you how it fits in. He says, Sir, take a look how long it is. Sir, Ho Adam, Shlishi, Chavim Libo, V'chol Mas of Kulam, Leidas, Hashem, Baruch Hu Bovad. Okay? The objective, the conscious objective, okay? And that's why he repeats, Sheyochal v'yishte only k'dei l'havros gufo v'evar. All right? Yeah. Hamanig atzma p'yor afu, I'm sorry, okay, he's no good. The purpose is, he says, yes, my libo, he says, the Eliyosif, he says, a person, manig atzma p'yor afu, I'm sorry, libo sheyochal gufo v'ashlem v'vad, he just wants to be healthy, okay? The Shiyil of Banim Osim Malachta Vanel Matzarko, he should have a big, bring his children to the business so that it would be better for him. He says, Enzo Dachtava, Eliyosim Alibo Shehe Gufo Sholem Lechoza Kadesh Yatia Nafsho Yeshur Aladas Hashem. Objective. Shiyav Shiyav Yestaka Bachachmo Sahura Vachol Lech Merakar. Okay? The Yosim Alibo Shiyah Lo Bain Ula Yechachem Gadol Bisrael. Okay? Not a great businessman, but a Chachem Bisrael. Alright? So, you see, here, this is a different category. Perek Shlishi is a different category. What should a person's conscious objectives be? That's, Perek Shlishi is really philosophical, and Perek Sheni and Rishon are really psychological. Two different things. That's why the Rambam, you see, in the end of Perek Sheni, brings a pasuk. At the end of Perek Shlishi, he always concludes with a pasuk. Two different things. Alright? He says, in the end of Zion, he says, Kachem rechachomim makino vatai vakovim matzina sadam en olam, kloa shel dover yeloch b'mido ha-beinunis, shebechol deo v'deo, ad sheyu kol deosov mechuvonos b'amtos. This is the psychological channeling of energy. Okay? V'ushe shlomo oma, paleis magol raglecho v'chol derochecho yikon. Is that Shlomo was talking about? Shlomo says, if you do that, it means to say that means that you weigh and you measure the way you direct your energies. So then, kol d'orachecha yikonu. In other words, you must work on your personality and the way your psychological energies are dispensed. If you don't do that, then you cannot possibly attain perfection. Okay. Now you see, in the end of the third parak, he ends with a different pasuk. Ba'inyan zeh tzivu chachomim, he says, where he says, "Fil b'shashu yoshon im yoshma das kedei shetnuch taito v'inuch gufa kedei shelo yechel avalo yuchal lavar as Hashem v'chola nimtzas shinesh lo avod lo macham baruchu." So sleeping is avod lo macham. Ba'inyan zeh tzivu chachomim, v'chol ma'asecho yiyu l'shem shamayim. This is the philosophical objective. V'hu shom ha'shlomo b'chachmaso. B'chol d'rachecho da'eyu different pasuk, different philosophy, different concept. The concept of a person's philosophical conscious objectives. That's why he repeats again. The Achilon Shia is in. He has it once in the first two prakim, and again in the third prakim. It comes under two different headings. One is under the heading of the psychological dispensation of energies. The other one is under the heading of the conscious philosophical objective. Okay. Then paragraph B has, you know, the nutrition, the nutrition that was known in his times. And then you have Per Kamishi. Now Per Kamishi is funny. Per Kamishi just starts over again. Okay, he says bitno some of the same thing. All right, and again excesses. He just got finished with that before. He got finished with the two frameworks, the psychological and the philosophical. So why is he repeating over here? Okay. Yeah, and then he says, and that's what's our chochamino ochel al tafshel echad oshnayim v'ochel mimenu kedei chayo v'dayo. All right, I mean, what? You just got finished with all this already. He said it twice. What do you have to say it again for? Okay, yeah, I think it's an interesting. The Per Kamishi, I think it's a very interesting, perek. I think over here, he's saying something different. Has something to do with what we said last week in Kallus. And that is that the Rambam recognized that a human being must have some kind of ego satisfaction. You see, a normal person always has a model in his mind, in his own mind, of what they are. Most of the people pick up these models from literature or from movies or theater, probably more movies today, okay? And that's the attraction of the movie, really. The person goes to the movie, identify with a certain figure, and, you know, it's something which, you know, which they gives them a certain ego boost because they can identify with that individual. It's identification, process of identification. Now, Chacham, of course, knows that all this is nonsense. But the question is, is the Chacham devoid of that psychological mechanism completely? In other words, you could say, that's it. I mean, all the Chacham does is he just works according to the way his intelligence, his understanding of life, the way his understanding of life dictates. And the way he understands things, you know, he doesn't have any sense of image, any sense of self-image. He's devoid of it completely. Okay, could say that, and then you'd be hard pressed to argue that point. It's not just a simple thing. Say that's really the perfected person. Could say, that's it. I mean, all a Chacham does is he just works according to the way his intelligence, his understanding of life, the way his understanding of life dictates. And the way he understands things, you know, he doesn't have any sense of image, any sense of self-image. He's devoid of it completely. Okay? Could say that, And then you'd be hard pressed to argue that point. It's not just a simple thing. Say that's really the perfected person. I think the Rambam doesn't hold that way. The Rambam holds that even the perfected person has some kind in his mind, the back of his mind, has some kind of a model. You see, some kind of a model. But the model that he has is the model of the Chacham. He has in his mind is the model of the Chacham. That model he has. And that model is mutter, and that model is even something which raises them to higher. It's not a harmful model. It's not a harmful model. Why? Because the very model is made up of chachma. Okay. And see the way the Rambam starts with Per Kamishi. Kishim shehachacham nikur b'chachmaso b'deyov v'hu muvdal b'hem mishoham. Okay? Everything. You call a masmela normim sukkonim biyosa. You see? Ketzad. Talmud chacham. Lo yeh gagron.
Alochel machal aroy lavos gufo. He just said this. What is he repeating it for? He just said the same thing as before, two, three times. Alo yacham menachil gaso. What is Rashi? The Rambam is giving a portrayal of a certain profile, of the Chacham. Okay, and a person must have this profile before him, must have it in his mind, and this is the only thing, the only image he could use to measure himself against. Okay, that's why the Rambam says, that's the model of the Chacham. All right, you see, for instance, he says like this. He says, then he says later, he says, okay, now today is they sent through the health world. But he's not talking in terms of health, he's talking in terms of perfection. But then he says, Vimo ya Oshir Kade Lechol Bosa Bachol Yom Ochol. I mean, it's a funny kind of a, it sounds like a contradiction, you see. No, because over here, he has it under several, this idea of an image of a chacham, he has under several categories. He has one under the category of a chil and shia, and another one he has under the category of what he calls kilkul dvarim, lachalkel. Okay, kilkul dvarim, not what a kuf, a chaf. The kilkul dvarim, okay? He says, Talmud Chacham machalkel dvarav b'mishpat. Ochel v'shosa v'zonis anshe beso kathima mono v'atzlachoso. V'lo yatriach al atzma yosem idai. Okay? It means to say, what does it mean to say? It means to say, that's a very big ego area. How a person lives. You know, his finance. What kind of an image is a person that? Okay? In our society, there's only one image. The person that has great financial excesses. I mean, that's the image of our society. The Rambam has a different image, different kind of an image. What is the image? The image is the individual who's in line with reality according to his needs and according to his atzlacha. It's not an image, not a fixed image of very wealthy, very poor, very this. The image is the rational approach according to his chelek that he has in life. That's what the Rambam says. You see, that's what it says. V'lo yatriach. He says, Ochel v'shose v'zon esanshe beso kethima mono v'atzlachasa. That's the image. The image is according to how much he has and according to Birkas Hashem, according to the chelik that he has in life and that's it. Okay. Tziva chom dechet. Shlo yochel adam basa. El teyavon. Shnem gizav nefshko lechol basa. Dai labori lechol basa me'er Shabbos lechol Shabbos. Vimo yo'oshir kidei lechol basa b'chol yom ochel. So the Rambam apparently took that pasuk, he said, "Avon nafshecha lecho basar." It's interesting. He took it out of the context of taiva, really, and he put it into the context of the ego. So there's a certain ego in how you live. You know, what kind of a house do you come from? My house, they have meat every day. Yeah, people say, "We have meat every night." I mean. So the eating becomes an ego kind of thing. You know, what kind of a background did you come from? In terms of it's a financial status ego thing. So that's what the Rambam says, that the Torah says, Linda Torah Derech Eretz, Shelo Yochel Adam Basar Ola Teyor. It means to say that a person should not eat basar because he wants to feel that in his house he always has basar. That's not a... It's Kisava Nafshecha Lecho Basar. Don't let the ego direct you. It should be based upon your needs. You need a person. Meet in a long time, so then he wants it. You shouldn't be a Monea Atzmo. You shouldn't be a Monea. But then the Rambam says, but if the person has a tzlocha and he's able to afford to have meat every day, it's fine. You know what the Rambam saying is not the meat. It's not the meat. Because according to this, why did the Torah single out basa? The Rambam held an interesting shot. I mean, it's not the plain shot in the puzzle. The Rambam learned that the idea of meat in the Torah is an idea of an ego concept. So he says, so that's why the Talmud Chacham shouldn't should, when it comes to how he lives, his lifestyle, should not be based upon any kind of specific fantasy or illusion or model. You know, drive this kind of car, live in this kind of a house, or this kind of food on my table, all these things, that's the nonsense of the world. His model should be a chacham. Kifima mono vatzlachasa. See, that's really the whole parakeet. It's an interesting Rambam. That's why the Rambam repeats it again and again, because he's repeating things now that he said before, but under a different framework. Under the framework of the ego, you see. That's why he ends when he says, V'odom she'osa kol ha'masim ho'elu v'kayotze bohen. He always has a little passage there. Olav ha'kasev omer, he says, V'yomali avdiyato Yisrael asher b'chos bohen. What does it mean? It means to say a person has to feel a certain sense of his spiros. I mean, you know, a certain satisfaction that he's living in line with a certain model. So the Rambam says that's the model that a person should have in his mind. Yisrael shalachar aspar avdiato means to say the model of the chacham, the model of the perfected human being, and that's the model that the chacham must always have in his mind to measure himself up against. And he's permitted to gain some satisfaction from that model, because that model intrinsically has chachma, and therefore it's devoid of fantasy and illusion, and on the contrary, it's something which is good. It doesn't make him into a Baal Gaiva, because on the contrary, he removes him from the other images which are really Kula Gaiva, and it places him under a different kind of framework. It's not if he has atzlacha, so then he shouldn't feel the satisfaction. I live in this kind of a house. I drive this kind of a car. That's the image of a fool. And if he's able to do it, this is kefila money. I'd have the same image. I'd have less or more. It's identical. There's no difference. The main thing is to live according to chachma. That is permissible for a person to. That kind of a psychological ego a person can indulge in. And on the contrary, that's something which perfects an individual. In other words, this is the idea of the truly healthy ego model, which is good psychologically and which is good philosophically. It's an interesting thing. You go from a breakdown of the false one to a return of the correct one, of the true one. This model is good. This model is not harmful. Yes. That's perfection. That's exactly what Ram says. And in terms of achila and shivgos, you see what the Ram is saying is like this. The Ram is saying is, again, I mean, you have to understand the framework. The Rambam is saying that there is such a thing that a person's malbush should really malbushim of the Rambam. Malbush in the Torah also plays a certain role. Has to do with the real malbush should be a malbush that is tied to kavod ha'adam. That's what a malbush really is. Because see, an interesting halacha. The halacha is that a kohen that's mechusar begadim is not the pshat that he's mechusar begadim. He can't do avodah because he's lacking something. But mechusar begadim is not a kohen. He's lacking kahuna, because the pasuk says. The pasuk says that the v'chagata osam avneit v'chianuli. So the Gemara says, you see that when they're not wearing the gadim, they're not kahanim. They're not called kahanim. See? So you see, v'vasi b'day chaval la'arun official, v'vasi b'day kodesh arun official, chaval l'sifaras. So you see that the role of the gadim, the true role of the gadim, should really be tied to kavar adam. That's what the Rambam says, that the Chacham said, that since begodim play the role of kavod ha'odom, so a person should be more nizah in kavod ha'odom than insofar as taivas meichel amishta, because taivas meichel amishta is really not taivas, it's the instinctual in the most crude form, you see. And kavod ha'odom is something which is a higher level. So that's why the Rambam. But Rambam doesn't mean to dress to. That's what I'm saying. You have to understand the framework. It doesn't mean to dress to show up. It means to dress because of kavod adam. And then he says, and he should machabed. And that's insofar as he's concerned. But insofar as his family, ishto avonov, his wife and his children, is yosem in a royal law. There he has to be a little more expenditure, because That's really perfection. Whether individual, I mean, you know, is involved in kavod anshei beis more than his own kavod. So that's what I mean. Of course, I mean, the formula has to be, you have to take the whole formula. You can't just take the middle one, you know what I mean? The whole formula is it's one entity. All right? That's perfection. But this, all these halachas of Eino Rambam really have to do with the aspect of the fact that there is a concept of ego, and which is a healthy philosophical ego, and this is the model that the Rambam has in Perikei. That's why the Rambam really repeats himself, because it's under three frameworks. The first framework is the channeling of the energies. That's number one. Two is the conscious philosophical objectives, and three is the image or the ego ideal, or these Freudian terms, that a person should have before his mind's eye, in terms of what he should live up to, what he lives up to, and how what he measures himself against. There is such a concept. And yeah, that's the pasuk Vayomer Li Avdi Ata Yisrael Hashem Chores Bar. Yes, that is the pshat in Yirmiyahu in the pasuk there. Ayesal l'chachim b'chachmaso v'asher b'asher kim b'zos yishal l'amam yishal haskel v'yadosim. That's right. That image is fine. That one can't cause any harm. Because that's reality. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to put it this way. Insofar as a human being, you can't dispense with it. But you're telling me, if he has a question of Moshe Rabbeinu, when a person is involved in Chachma, he's not involved in that. And certainly, the person should, you see, it plays a lot of roles. We're talking about we're not talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. We're talking about a human being in his Derech HaChaim. I mean, his Derech HaChaim. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have to read a Perikei enough of this. Okay. They're talking about a human being as far as perfection is concerned. You have to understand what the Rambam is talking about. Of course, if a person is like Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm looking at Hashem constantly, that's different. That's Kamal Hashem. That's when that's when a person can do away with all the Mitzrayim. That's what Rambam is saying, is exactly what the Rambam says, because the next Rambam, Perek Shishi, is totally dedicated to the idea of being the Dabeg with Talmid HaChacham. Take a look. Perek Shishi. Derech b'yos shalot miyasnim shech b'dayos of masav achareyo v'chaveros. Okay, Noe kimina ganshe medinoso. They're talking about psychological trends in a human being. It's not talking about the perfection of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's talking about people, normal people, in terms of their struggle to attain perfection. The Yisrachik min Orishoyim, okay, and he goes on, that's the Mitzvah Aseli Dabek B'Chachomim. This is all part of the whole picture of the correct image. I mean, it's part of the whole picture of the Dabek B'Chachomim, okay? Yeah, that's what Perek Shishi naturally follows, okay. I just want to mention one more thing. In Halacha Beis, okay, the Rambam mentioned, Perikei, the lo yabesu dosav b'chol makom v'afilu im chachomim. Okay, im chachomim. You shouldn't be mar besuda, eat together, jointly, even with chachomim. Lo yocho besuda sheyesh b'em kibbutz harbe. Big gathering, a lot of people. Ve'in roi lo lecho lele besuda shel mitzvah b'vad, kigon sudas erisun v'nisuin, v'hu sheyia tamachachom shenosa bas tamachachom. Otherwise, it's not a sudas mitzvah. V'atzadikim l'chassidim orishonim lo ochlu misuda she'inon shelohem. An interesting thing. You see, this he has in Perek Hamishi, which has to do with the ego aspect. You see, because what the Rambam holds is that the way a person eats can be more than just eating, but it can involve a certain ego satisfaction. Now, when a person gets together in a group and is ochel v'shosa, it's a condoning of the whole institution of afilu shia. When you're eating by yourself, it's a different kind of experience. And that's why the Rambam says, basically, I mean, it's the whole idea of today's society, the whole idea of the big simchas and the bar mitzvahs and all these things. That's how Moshe and Sefer said they would do away with the whole institution. because he says it doesn't meet any kind of profession. And that's why the Chachamim would never get together for the purpose of Achilo Shia. This is really just an excuse. It's an excuse. Now says it's an excuse to engage. See, when you engage in public in something like Achilo Shia, it's an endorsing of the whole concept of Achilo Shia. It's an endorsing. That is bad. It becomes like an ego kind of a thing. You see? It's an interesting thing. That's why the Rambam says even with the Chachamim you shouldn't do it. Even with the Chachamim, because it becomes an endorsing of the institution, of the instinctual. And that's why the Chacham would keep away from that kind of an activity. It's interesting. The Rambam concludes with the idea that the Talmid Chacham only ate from their own. Lo yochel mesuda she'ena shalal. Lo yochel mesuda she'ena shalal. Apparently, the Rambam held is that when a person is ochel from mesuda she'ena shalal, that itself lends to the flow of the instinct into the world of achilo shia. You see, when it's mishalo, it's a different kind of means. Mishalo means that he's an ochel from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, like the Rambam says in Hilchos Chiyum HaTorah, ma shehinchel osar Hashem. So there, that's a different kind of a frame of mind. When it's ochel shows something in Siddush and mishalo, it's like a free, it allows the energy to flow freely into the air of achilo shia. It loses the quality of matnas Hashem, which counteracts the instinctual. If it's suda she'ena shalal, so then it's not anymore. That which keeps a person in line is the fact that it's matnas Hashem, and in order that he could exist, so that he could involve himself in perfection. Suda she'ena shalal doesn't have that quality. Doesn't have the quality of matnas Hashem. Doesn't have the quality of matnas Hashem. Then already it's an indulgence in the instinctual and the justification for the indulgence. So that's what the Rambam says, that Chachamim never ate from the Surah Shem Shalom. Interesting Rambam. So just one more question I want to answer. The question we raised about Monei Atmo. That a person, the Rambam says a person shouldn't be Monei Atmo. Right? Shouldn't be Monei Atmo. It's interesting. Where would you put that, Rambam? If you had to put it, where would you put it? In the first division? Or would you put it in the second division? Or in the third division. Rama wants to tell you, Allah, they should not be monei atzma medvarim shalomon oso mimenu atara. Which division would you put it in? First, the second, or the third? Role of guilt. The role of guilt in terms of human perfection. So the source of guilt is really what Yahadis explains in the beginning, insofar as Adam Rishon is concerned. That after he was overpowered by the by his libidinous desires, his desire, his taiva, when overpowered by the taivas, so then something else was installed in his personality to counteract that mode of operation, so that he shouldn't. Otherwise, he'd be thrown into gear totally into the world of taiva. The world of taiva took over. Okay, instinctual took over. Right, so the guilt was installed in his personality in order to prevent him from being overcome by that side of his personality, which was running after the pleasures and the physical desires. Okay, so the guilt counteracted it. Yeah, that's why according to Yahadus. You see, the difference, I mean, there's an essential difference between Yahadus and between all other religions. Because all other religions of man stem completely from the guilt. That's all they are. They follow the pattern of guilt. In other words, whenever the tithe, if you'd follow the tithe, so then you'd be living like a behemoth. So therefore, they follow the guilt. Following the guilt is called religion. All right? And that's why all the religions are really very transparent in their objectives. They're very, very easily traceable. Because you see, the performance in the religion, or the abstention in the religion, is completely a matter of following the other side of the personality, which is the guilt. That's why they have asceticism. You see asceticism, and they go in the deserts, and they don't eat, and and they torture themselves. I mean, if you look at the primitive tribes, you see all the torture. They see all these kind of things is really are really the guilt side of the human personality being expressed. It's in religion the guilt side takes over, okay? And in the regular person, it's the tighter side that takes over. And basically, the society, that's what it is. The people that are religious are not religious. What's the religion, not religious? One is a more guilty type of person, so they're drawn to the expressions of the guilt. And the other is a more instinctual type of person, instinctual, less guilt, so they enjoy the instincts. Okay? So, that's what it is. One emotion against the other. There is one interesting combination. You see, that's devil worship. The devil worship is an attempt to combine both. It's an attempt to combine, it's more the aggressive emotions, okay, which is also instinctual, but it's an attempt to combine the instinctual emotions with the superego, with the guilt. So they make it into a worship. That's an attempt to combine both sides. That's the attraction of that one, of the devil worship. Okay? So basically you have three types. You have the guilt, then you have the instinctual, and then you have the combination, the devil worship. That's what it is, basically. Now, Yahadis recognizes the fact that were it not for the guilt, man wouldn't have a chance, but basically it's Eitz HaDas Tovara, which means that the Das, the knowledge, now has to choose between the two sides. In other words, the only function in the role of the guilt is to somehow or other counterbalance the instinctual so the mind gets a chance to move in and make the decision. But there is no advantage in the guilt itself, according to Yadis. As a matter of fact, guilt itself is really, as I said, is a major component of Avodah Zarah. A major component of Avodah Zarah is guilt. I mean, you see that from the what did he fight? They were sacrificing their children. It's not a pleasure, I mean, it's torture. And if you study the primitive tribes, these various things, the Indian sun dance, and all these things are like self-affliction of torture. That's the guilt, that's Avodah Zarah. So Yahadis maintains that the guilt is good insofar as it gives a person a chance, and he's not overridden with the instinctual, but the only solution is through the mind, through the intellect, through Chachma. Chachma dictates what to do. Sometimes it's on the side of the guilt, sometimes it's not. So I mean, that's, you know, it depends. It depends on what the area is. That's what Chazal say. If a person doesn't enjoy himself, he's also having a vera. He's al shachat al nefesh. Because of the fact that he didn't drink wine for a month. Okay, so either way is not good. What Yahada stands for is a situation where the human personality is best attuned to limud. That's really, if you want to know what is Yahada's ideal, the ideal is the personality which is best, has the best attitude for the purpose of limud. Okay? And that is a situation in where the person isn't overridden by either side. And the personality is in a state where it's a happy state, and they can pursue chachma. Okay? And that has to be determined. How to arrive at that state can only be determined through intelligence. That's why it's Eitz HaDas Tovara. Now, the only thing I would add is something that perhaps most people do not think about, and that is that in Yahadis really, every emotion is a mechitza, like the Rambam explains, a mechitza between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, and man. Every emotion. Now, certainly the taiva emotion is a mechitza, because taiva is based. Taiva is not based on reality. Taiva is based on purely on the instinctual. And when a person is in the world of the instinctual, he's not in the world of the mind. So certainly it's pretty obvious that the world of taiva is a mechitza between man and God. He's involved in the instinctual, he's not involved in the world of the ideas. That's clear. But the world of guilt is also a mechitza, because it's It's just another emotion in reverse. It's a counter emotion. You see, so that world is also a mechitza, because that world is one where the individual again is wrapped up in certain emotions. And certain emotions, insofar as it's emotional, it's not the world of ideas. But even more than that, you see, in my opinion, I think that the world of guilt takes a person away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a different sense, in a certain subtle sense, because the Pasuk expresses man's ideal relationship with God. And that's B'chol Derechecha Da'eyu. B'chol Derechecha Da'eyu V'hu Yeyasher Achasecha. That means the highest level is a person is constantly, so to speak, walking with God. He's constantly before God. All right? That's all what Kim Salah means. A person has to be able to, everything he does, it's like the Rambam explains, his preoccupation is God, is the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the highest level. Now, the guilt causes a person to run away, to hide. He really can't feel that he's with God all the time, because the guilt causes him to be removed. He's not comfortable. He's comfortable with God when he's in a mode of operation that he feels is good. But he can't be b'chol derechecha da'eyu, because he wants to really escape. He wants to escape. And that's really the pasuk that we mentioned many times. Daber atoim manu v'nishma. That was the Klal Yisrael. They were unable to be nekayim b'chol derechecha da'eyu. Why? Because of the guilt. The guilt demanded that they have to have an escape. Now I'm not before God. Now I'm myself. Okay? Yeah, I'll daven, I'll learn, and then I'll be before God. But b'chol derechecha, to constantly be before Kadosh Baruch Hu, that a person who is functioning out of a sense of guilt cannot have that experience. It's a different experience. You can't have it. So guilt is really a mafsik. It's certainly a mechitza between man and God. There's no question about it. In terms of the very concept of being mekayim b'chol derechecha da'eyu, all right? Because that caused the person to escape. And see, the person has to escape. The person functioning as guilt has to escape. Okay? Yes. Or else he has to become an absolute ascetic. In which case he can't survive. Okay, yeah. All right, let me elaborate a little more. The person with guilt, whenever he's engaged in the instinctual, the guilt is always there. So therefore, he can't be before God and at the same time when he's involved in the instinctual. Okay, that's really, you understand what I'm saying? Involvement in the instinctual causes guilt, and the guilt means that he's not, he can't tolerate being in God's presence at that time because he's guilty. What about the Mauritian? What happened to that Mauritian? That Mauritian says, Vayishabeh Adam Vishto. They hid. Why? Because the sense of guilt. They didn't want to relate to God. And so God said, Ayeka. Says, Kol Chom Shemati Bagon, Voyura ki Eramanachi Vechove. Chazal say Aram and Amitzvahs. When Chazal say Aram and Amitzvahs, not just Joshua. It means that is the emotion, really. That's really the pshat in the pasuk. The physical Aram is only secondary. The real Aram was that he was a chote, and he didn't want to be in God's presence. Okay. That's exactly what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that a person that's on a high level, everything he does is lefnei Hashem. Achila, Shia, even Taivas HaMishgal, even intercourse is in order to, is always everything, the whole Rechavah, everything he does is always in order to be in a situation where his mind is in Torah. That's the Rambam. That's B'chol Rechavah. It means that every moment of his life, whenever he is indulging in, even in the world of the instinctual, he's always with Hashem. Because the whole purpose is constantly to relate to God. That's a very hard. That person is not functioning out of guilt. That's a different kind of a life. What happens sometimes is that a person, and this is what happens many times in yeshiva, is that you see a very tragic situation. And that is that a person decides to become very firm. And what they try to do is, you see, they try to, it happens many times, they try to, you know, to become extremely firm, like the Rambam says, right, so the Rambam says, you know, and then they break down, there's breakdown. Why? Because the point is that since they're essentially functioning out of guilt, the only way they can envision their actions constantly with Nei Hashem is by suppressing the natural desire. That can result in a psychological breakdown. That's a dangerous thing. But the person that is really, that's why when you read about that in the Rambam, it sounds very nice, you know, whatever he does with Nei Hashem, yeah, I'd like to be that way. You can't just be that way. That's a very, very high level, which is based on Chachma, and where a person has removed from himself the whole guilt syndrome. That's very, very few people of the human race ever reached that level. I mean, it's a very difficult level. It's not like it sounds so pushy. No. It's a very separate thing, and very few human beings have ever attained that. And if a person tries to attain that, he could destroy himself. It's a very dangerous thing. You have to know what your level is. A person can't just jump up to the highest level. It's not going to work. For a while it works sometimes, but then there are tragic results, because the human being, there's parts of personality that are completely being frustrated, and it causes a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
Tshuva, everybody is chayav in tshuva. Even the person of Becholdo or Chachadayo also does tshuva. But there's a difference between his tshuva and the average tshuva. The average tshuva is mainly guilt. But there's a different kind, you see, there is a different kind of guilt, which is, I would call, a philosophical guilt. It's a different, has a different nature to it. It's hard to describe these things, because, you know, you have to know it's a matter of experience. But when a person, it's a different kind of a busha. Because you see, by tshuva it says you have to be ashamed, boshed, even achlamti. But that busha does not mean what people commonly think of as guilt. It means that the real busha is when a person realizes that he didn't live like a human being should live. That's the real busha. That's the real busha. It's not the social busha. The guilt is really a social phenomenon, essentially. That kind of a busha is a social busha. Even if the person doesn't think of people, but it's the same kind of a thing. Okay, it has to do with the way people think of the person. But there's a philosophical busha. It's a different kind of a busha. It's a different thing altogether. That is the that's in tshuva. That's that you have in tshuva. Okay. Yeah. There's no question. That's the reason. See, they were philosophers. Everybody calls them philosophers. But there are philosophies out there that try to say, this is basically Christianity and other religions. They have no chachma. So what do they lean on? They try to say that you should follow your conscience and your, which is guilt, basically. And they try to say that there's some objective thing in man, because how do you know what's right? I mean, they have nothing, and we know what's right. So they have to have something that's supposed to be good, so they say the good is the conscience. So they have to posit that there is something in man which you can sort of link into, and is going to give you the right feelings, and then you'll be able to take it from there. Okay, you see, that's what they try to say. I mean, Immanuel Kant said it when he said the starry sky above me and the moral law within me. You see, yeah. So he says, you see, that was his religion, because he was basically a Christian. You see, so he was actually he had no concept of the others. It was a distorted idea of the others, the anti-others. What? There's nothing in between there. I mean, there's nothing in between. The satan vavadatem Elohim Acherim. All right? It's either... That's what Elohim Acherim means. You know what the definition of Elohim Acherim is. Elohim Acherim doesn't mean other gods. No. What do you mean, other gods? Hashem Achar, Shmo Achar. It means others' gods. That's the god of others. Elohim Mishel Acherim. Okay? It means man-made gods. Because There are only two religions. I mean, one religion is the Das Ames, the true religion, which is the real God. And then there's the man-made, the Elohim Shel Acharim. There's only two systems. Okay. Yeah, it is. So they want to say, that's what they want to say, because there's nothing else. They have nothing else. So they have to say that, and the whole religion, as I said before, is all just an outgrowth of catering to that side of the human personality. So therefore they must posit that this is a divine element inside of man. And if you hook up properly into this element, then you'll be in the world of the ultimate good. You see, the only problem with that is, you see that a mafioso that's raised in the family, he feels very guilty when he doesn't kill somebody. The same exact guilt as the Christian feels when he didn't do his whatever. I mean, so that doesn't work. That doesn't work. That is proven that it doesn't work. There's no such thing as a moral law within the idea that there's some absolute. As much as Immanuel Kant was very, very overcome by his feelings about this thing, but he didn't realize that's just so because of that he was raised in a society. Where raised in another society, you feel very guilty if you didn't kill somebody. So you see, so there's no such thing. That just doesn't exist. That doesn't exist, and that's why, I mean, that's really the refutation of all that of all the other, I mean, intrinsically, of all those other religions. But the but that answers your question too, because your question is, why is it that some people feel more or less guilty or guilty about different things? Because it has very much to do with your upbringing, very much to do, but not only, because there is also the predisposition, which means there are certain personalities that are more guilt-ridden than others. I mean, there's different variations. I mean, that's an intrinsic factor. That's not such a simple thing. There's, what? It's just like physical. Just like some people are stronger, weaker, I mean, taller, shorter. This is something which is a genetic thing. I mean, it's a certain predisposition. Parts of the mind in each individual, the way the dynamics are set up, are not the same. It's different. So, as much like a shame, shapatsu feyam einam domo zuluzu, right? Just like their faces are not the same, their souls are not the same either. It means to say why the face is not the same, because that's a genetic thing. I mean, this shape, that shape, this way. Same thing is true about the psyche. The psyche also is subject to variation. Yeah, it's interesting that Chazal say that a person that does not have a sense of guilt is really not Bechal Yisrael. It's an interesting thing. It's not Bechal Yisrael. It says, because the Pasuk says, Levavur Yitia Yerosal Penechem Levilki Techato. So Chazal say that a Jew has a Midav Busha. Every Jew has it. So you see, every Jew has it. It means it's not a philosophical thing. It means it's a psychological phenomenon. It's like, it means to say that a Yisrael, Klal Yisrael in general, do have a strong sense of guilt. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, it's a, and Chazal say that if a person doesn't have it, that he's subject to be a chote very, very readily. It is no question about it that it is a vehicle. But as I said before, it doesn't dictate what is right or wrong, and it is something which, on a higher level, a person's mode of operation changes as they ascend the ladder of perfection, and a lot of the emotions are translated into more ideational type of expression. You see, I mean, that's the whole process of perfection. Okay, but a person who does not have guilt, and azas punim, is someone that is not the Chazal say almost. I mean, not Bechal Yisrael. I mean, Pegatus, Yisrael, az punim, is Yechoshes is something enemy Yisrael can't be. Because he's an az punim. So you see that midah, the midah of az punim is the opposite of guilt. Az punim is up. You see that's a midah in Klal Yisrael. So, Busha,
That's why David HaMelech didn't allow the Givonim to marry Klaisel, because Shlosher Midas Yesh Bumazu. Rachmonim, Baishonim, and Gomer Chassan. Baishonim. Busha is an important thing. So really, guilt in Yahadis, as I said, Yahadis is the ultimate in Seichel, in Das. It's not such a simple thing. It's not a simple thing. It doesn't throw it away. It recognizes the value of it. But then again, it doesn't allow you to be dictated by it, because that's not the perfection. That's not Shleimus Adam. Shleimus Adam is Chochmah, okay? And this is simply one of the factors that has to be dealt with in terms of perfecting an individual. Yeah. I would say that's the uniqueness of Yahadis. I said it many times, is that Yahadis combines, can't understand philosophy without psychology and psychology without philosophy. You can't separate those two areas. And you have to have, in order to perfect yourself, you must have knowledge of what is the good and what is evil. And you must also have knowledge of your own inner workings of your personality. Because otherwise you can't apply it. I mean, you have to know how to apply it. So you need those two types of knowledge. Yeah. Well, I'm saying that's right. In other words, through knowledge you can see if this is something which is a value or it's not, or on the contrary, something which is really harmful. Because it could be harmful too. It could be harmful too. The attitude of a person, there should be an element of busha there. If there isn't, there's something wrong. But then when a person gets into the activity of doing things themselves, there you need analysis and chachma to determine the correct course. And guilt can't be a determinant. Only chachma can be a determinant.
Okay, also look at Rambam. He says, the point being that to lose that midah of busha is also a netzer. It's a netzer for a Jew.